Okay, thank you for joining our live stream. We're doing it a little bit different today. And, good, I see my glasses back there. That's good news. Anyway, but the point being is we're actually going to have communion with you guys today because I want you to understand the focus that this brings me to every week. For the first 500 years of the Church of Jesus Christ, communion was the focus of every get-together. What they did is they broke bread together and did exactly what Jesus told them to. As I was reading the ordinances of the church and what a bunch of people were arguing about, the ordinances, this was necessary, this was not necessary. It's okay, everybody keep your shoes on. We're not going to get into foot washing this morning, okay? Praise the Lord. Anyway, but the point is this. When he did it, it's extremely important to what Jesus did and what he said, of course. But when he did it was extremely important. They were celebrating the Passover. They were celebrating the Passover. And they were celebrating the fact that they had been, that the Israelites for 500 years had been in bondage. Has anybody in here ever been in bondage? I've never been in like slave bondage. I've never been a slave, but I felt like I was bound. I was tied down. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. Okay? But this was real bondage. This was people telling you what to do every day. They couldn't make the decisions of their life. And the Passover, they were celebrating the night before they left. God said, take a lamb without defect. Take that lamb, bring it into your house, cook it. And if there's not enough in you to eat the complete lamb, bring in people from the outside. Take the blood from the lamb and put it on the doorpost of the house. And then come in, consume the lamb, and do it in expectation. Do it with your pants on. Do it with your belt tied up, knowing that you're about to leave this place in faith. You see how there's faith, there's obedience, there's faith. And guess what? That night, the ones who did that, who got in the house, put the blood on the doorpost, guess what happened? Their firstborn lived, didn't they? There was no death in their house. Listen to what I'm saying. There was no death in their house because they were in the house. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just telling you what I think. There was probably people in that house that were not perfect. Guess what? They might have been looking at their neighbor's wife's foot or something the day before because they were completely covered up. They might have been lusting. They might have thought, you know, I'm mad because my uncle's got a nicer camel than I've got. I don't know what they were doing. They might have been wanting something that belonged to somebody else. They might have been lusting. They might have been greedy. They might have told a lie. They caught a fish this big. It was really that big. You see what I'm saying? It was not their perfection. It was not their perfection. It was the perfection of the obedience and the faith and the lamb that was to come. Amen. And on the night he was betrayed, he set his posse down in front of him, the people that really knew mostly what was going on. And he said, take this bread, if I can get it out of this package. I just know I can. I got faith. No, you don't have to do it. You got it. I like people to see me struggle. That way when people say that guy can do this, anybody can. Okay, I know it. I keep my fingernails cut off all the time, so you know it's. Oh, there it goes. I think the longer they stay in the basket, the harder it is. Okay. There's always a tool. Don't try that at home. Okay. Nothing like pre-planning. Baby, you tried to help me and I wouldn't have let you help me. I'll swap with you. Okay. It used to be a lot simpler when they passed it around. Okay, here it is. It's a tiny cracker. If you'll just hold that in your hand this morning and just break that in your hand. And Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that we're in your house. We are in your house. And Lord, our homes have the blood applied, Lord, to the doorpost in faith and obedience, oh God. And Lord, it's not a literal thing, it's a spiritual thing. But Lord, we celebrate what you did in the next hours after you did this the first time, Lord, as a picture, as a reminder, reminding us, Lord, in your presence, that Lord, we will eat with you there someday, God, in your actual presence. Thank you, Lord. Let's eat together. If you'll peel back, if you're able without assistance, to peel back the second layer and just hold that a minute and realize that the Bible says there's no fixing sin without the shedding of blood. From Adam to the second Adam. Adam messed it up and the second Adam redeemed it by his own blood. And Lord, I thank you for that. We celebrate that together. We focus on you this morning. The fact that it's not us, but you paid the price. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, I could probably, some of y'all probably won't write that down. You've never been in a communion service where knives were used, but anyway. Didn't do that on purpose. All right. We're going to go to the book of Romans. And I want to tell you that one of the things that Paul says that he does is the public reading of Scripture. The public reading of Scripture. And this is about as public as I get. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory, and man, this is when it starts getting interesting. This is when it starts getting interesting. But we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us, that we earned or was given. Was it a gift? Yes. It's a gift. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood. How are you justified? By his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For by when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. But unto the law is sin in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But by the free gift, not like the offense, for by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Do you hear those powerful words by this guy that wrote this, who is so successful in his ministry at his time that he's having to make tents on the sides to make ends meet? Okay, that he's such a good speaker that people are saying, you know, I thought he was going to speak more powerfully. I thought he was going to be more eloquent. I thought he's going to be this or that or the other. The same guy that was just bound and determined to go the opposite direction of Christianity. He was bound and determined. I'm going to rid this world of Christianity because the law is the only right way. He had said at the foot of Gamaliel, if anybody could have had a good argument to get rid of Jesus until he knocked him off his donkey, as we talked about, okay? This is the guy. This is the guy. And listen, guys, I did some word study this week, which is very dangerous if you want to get out here before the buffets are closed. But I'm just telling you, I'm going to hit it hard and fast. Watch this. These words are wearing me out. Because this is written in English, okay? It was taken from the Greek. And when you start looking, when you start changing, you know, I've told you this story before. I'll tell it real quick. Okay. When I first started, actually, my public ministry, whenever that was, 25, 30 years ago, I was actually hired as a full-time youth pastor down south in the county. And as I was sitting there, I would literally take my text and the scriptures that I was going to use, and I would look at the Greek and the Hebrew of every word in that text and write it down and write it out. And, dude, guys, it was exhausting. And you know what? When it was done, I had like 6 versions at that point. I've got like 21 now on my iPad. And when it was done, I could have just read those versions and got the idea. Because each one of those, all those, as they trans, is like, this can be used like this. And I'm not talking about going opposite. I'm talking about, it's like a rope. If you've got one strand and you wrap another strand around it, you see a clearer picture. So watch this. This word, justified. Therefore, being justified, I want to tell you what that word means in the Greek. So, I'm not an accountant. I can add and subtract, you know. I'm not an accountant. Praise God that we got people to keep up stuff for us, okay? But here's the deal. What that means is that it's a picture, it's an accounting picture. One way to describe that, one way the Greek talks about it, is you owed money and now it's paid. Paid in full. The tables have been rectified. Does that make sense? What was a lack is now paid. And I want to tell you, when I go pay my light bill or whatever, and they stamp that thing and it's stamped, I probably lose it 20 minutes later. But the point being is, I like that feeling of that. And I want to tell you something, your sin has been paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. That does not mean, and we're going to get to this in the next 6 months as we go through. I always think it's going to be 6 weeks and ends up being 6 months. But the point is, as we go through some of these scriptures in Romans, you're going to see that is not your license. Oh, let me just give you a license. Just go do whatever you want to. No. We talked about it in Sunday school, the body, the mind, the spirit. It affects every aspect of your life. Okay, when you shoot it, remember what sin means, shooting at the target and missing. As you start letting those arrows go further and further from the mark, does it cost something? Does it cost your body something, your mind something, your spirit something, your family something? It costs. So act right. So this justified going from the red to the black, going from being in debt to being paid in full. And the way we go from the red to the black is by the red of his blood, guys, as I was looking at that. The second word, being justified by faith. And here's what's interesting. This word faith, it means an assent to rely, to believe, confidence, placing reliance, confidence, assurance. Okay? And here's what faith, it's interesting as I have studied and looked at this word, not just this word, but just the aspect of faith. I want to tell you, sometimes American Christianity has become a buffet. Does that make sense? And I like buffets, okay? And sometimes I'll sit there and they'll say, this says buffet, not all day, okay? Not all day, it's supposed to be buffet, okay? But anyway, but the point being is I can pick exactly what I want. Sometimes on them buffets, they actually have shrimps. You ever have them shrimps? Them jumbo shrimp, that's an interesting word. It means big, little, okay. But anyway, they'll have shrimps on there, and I can just eat all the shrimps I want, okay? And, which is not a good idea. But anyway, but the point being is this. Christianity is not a buffet, okay? Christianity, and I'm not saying that I know it all or know, okay, all I'm telling you is this, is that it is following the path of the master. Does that make sense? It Christianity is a faith-based belief system following that. And if we, because listen, if you want to listen to somebody to tell you that all you got to do to be a good Christian is to vote like this, you're at the wrong place. Okay? If you're want somebody to tell you you need to vote like this, you're at the wrong place. The other this, whatever this is. Or this guy is our answer, or this guy is our answer. There is only one answer, and that's Jesus Christ. Okay? And here's the deal. We've used religion, faith, Jesus to peddle every idea, to peddle everything we've ever wanted. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't work. Because what does work is when people are willing to die for him. And as we die to our flesh, as we die, and we do the biggest death at all and choose to love our enemies. Choose to love our enemies. To choose to serve those people that can't pay you back. That can't, as we do that, and you say, well, what kind of Christianity, I'm just talking about the Bible. Okay, so here's the deal. That's faith. And faith is always about action. It's not just about a belief system, just an idea. It's about action. The reason that I have faith that the Lord has redeemed me is because of what His Word said and what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me and my relationship with Him. But then the action that I take after that is not to get saved. I'm saved. Some of y'all say, you're redneck saved, okay? But I am saved, okay? But the bottom line is this. Being saved, then as I walk in that truth, it changes the things around me, okay? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. And guys, when I start hitting that word, you know, I'm almost 40 in some counting system. But anyway, but the point being is this. In the 60s, I was a child, but everybody was saying, peace, man, peace, peace, man, peace, okay? And essentially that meant you can do whatever you want to, okay? I don't know what it meant. I was no old enough to know. I liked the leather jackets, the beads, and the motorcycles, so I don't know. They had that part right. So here's the deal. The bottom line is that peace, when we look at this word peace with God, which is really the only peace that matters, it's almost like gravity. If you got a real nice outfit and you walk out the door and there's no gravity and you fly off the space, nobody sees it, what does it really matter? Okay, what does it really matter how nice you looked on the outside? No, because I'm gonna tell you something, peace with me is great, you know, we can get along, but what's gonna matter, because you are an eternal being. Is everybody listening this morning? You're eternal. You're eternal. You will live forever. He knew you in the secret place. When you were conceived in the womb, it was put on your flesh was put here, and you're right now a flesh being. If you can hear this, you're probably flesh, and your flesh out here, most of y'all look like you're alive. Anyway, but the point, that was a joke. It's a joke. Okay. But here's the deal, guys. Watch this. And the peace with God is eternal. So watch this. That word peace, that means first word to describe it is rest. This world is not at rest. It's so stirred up. I mean, just walk out the door. There's somebody, I gotta have this, I gotta have that, I gotta have this. If you have this, you can have that, and you can have this. If it's not about things, if it's not about ideas, if that this world, there is no rest. Okay, but I want to tell you something. I can rest with God today because of Jesus Christ and Him justifying me. I can rest. I'm going to spend the eternity with Jesus. Eternity. I may, you know, some people are sick. Some people are going through this. Some of us are going through old age. Some of us are going through marriage problems. Some of us are going through health problems. And I know that, and I'm sorry. And we got people we're praying for right now, and I mean that. We're going through grief with people. We're going through stuff all around us. But the bottom line is, as we focus on eternity with Him, okay, we can have peace. And I'm going to tell you something. We can have rest. And here's one of the words that he used to describe, the Greek word that he used there, is quietness. Wow. You know, sometimes I turn everything off and I sit. And the reason I do that is out of discipline. This is not a joke. I do it out of discipline. And then I say, God, I can do this. I can sit in quietness in your presence. And as I do that, let me tell you what happens. The spinning oscillator in my head that's always doing this literally began, you'd think it would be worse or no. As I focus on Him, what begins to happen is there comes a deeper rest. Does that make sense? Not just a physical rest, but a knowing that I know that I know. Quietness, rest. And here's the last two, And I gotta hit these real quick, guys. The other thing it talks when we're talking about peace, okay, it means set up again.
What?
Placed back upright. So you go into a room and there's stuff knocked over. And part of this word peace means things are being set back up the way they're supposed to be. Guess what? If your family is driving you nuts and it's all knocked over, listen, let's do this. Let's find our peace in Christ Jesus. And what happens? They may not get set back up, but in your heart, all those places that it's hurting, those places, what'll happen is it'll be set back up. Does that make sense? That's what part of this peace blessing of giving it to Him through faith, receiving grace, it gives me something to give. And it means made whole again. W-H-O-L-E. It means it's been torn. But I want to tell you something. A lot of people's spiritual life, some of you have experienced spiritual abuse, okay? Which that means that somebody is wanting something from you and they're using spiritual things to try to get that from you, okay? And we've all been through it. I mean, and you say, well, you know, I got hurt in church. That's why I don't go. Well, if with that deal, I'd never go back to the doctor or to the dentist, okay? But I can promise you if I need to go, I'll go to both of them, okay? But I want to tell you, people will hurt you, but I want to tell you, you can find that peace, that wholeness, and that completeness with Him. The last word is, talking about peace, is prosperity. What? Twice in one day, that word has come up once in Proverbs and now here. Here's the deal, guys. We're greedy. There are people today, the last time Pastor Jeremiah was here, and him and I were praying together and talking about South Africa. And, you know, I love the fact that I can go next door here. We got an ice machine, get a little ice, fill it up with water, and I don't have to worry about, is this going to make me sick? Is this going to make me whatever? No. Okay, but the point being is this, there's people all over the world that are suffering, that are all that, but as we become peace with Him, we become givers, we become lovers of His body, not just of me, Lord bless me, and we, and us's, and we-ins, and you-ins. No, because what we in being is part of the entire body of Christ, and that is part of that rectification, part of that peace, that rest, that quiet. So with us, God, through all this happens, justified, faith, peace with God through how? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, guys, that's not an idea. I have ideas from time to time. I do. Some of them are better than others. Okay? But this isn't an idea. Jesus Christ is a person. He was present in creation and right now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. And I want to tell you guys, we have peace with God through His sacrifice. Okay, that was verse 1. Verse 2. Through whom we also have, oh Lord, hold on. Access. You know, I was somewhere the other night and somebody, I told them who I was. They said, oh, you're Bruce Beeman. I believe he might be living. And he said, and I said, you're famous. And I literally said these words. No, I am redneck known, but I am a long ways from famous. and he's talking. He said, well, so-and-so told me, and I'm like, bless you, brother. We all pray together afterwards. Anyway, but the point anyway is this. The point I'm making is this. Is whatever. I don't think I can go out and pick up the phone and I don't think the governor's going to take my call. I know him. I've met him. He's a nice guy. Okay. I don't think the president of the college and blah, blah, blah is going, I don't have his personal number. You know, I don't have access. Does that make sense? I'll have to find somebody that knows 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 somebody in 6 or 8 months from now, you know. But I will tell you what. You have access to the throne room of God. If you are a Christian, a little Christ, a covenant member of the body of Christ, you have access. And when you pray, it matters. It matters. There's not a tear that you've shed before the Lord that hasn't been kept. It matters. And I believe that now more than I ever have believed it. Because I want to tell you something. What's happened is form, fellowship, and all those things have come up here, and prayer, I'm getting to the camera, prayer has come down to here. I'm going to tell you, we need to move this back up. It all needs to be balanced. You need to spend time praying. I like to listen to good teachers. And I'm gonna tell you something. I have been convicted in the last few weeks, and it's nothing like having 2 or 3 days of sitting on your couch, blowing your nose, and checking your temperature to kind of reset the computer for you. Okay, yeah, that don't sound real good. I got some pretty bad faces from the audience, but anyway. The point being is this. Okay. Prayer is essential to go where we want to go. And I'm not talking about going to heaven. Okay. He paid the price for that. But if you want to walk the walk that he's called you to walk, be the person you've called him to be, we need to make it a balanced attack in this thing we call the body of church of Christ, whom we also have access. Do you have access to God? Okay, by faith, okay, it's not by how good you've been. I love the way Jesus handled it. Oh, he's so good. He's perfect, of course, but so he's got a bunch of guys together. And he said, well, you know, Moses says, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Get, have adultery, don't get a divorce. And then he says this. He says, yeah, all you guys who have been lusting after your neighbor's wife, you've already committed adultery. And every guy in there goes like this. Really? And, you know, people don't bring that scripture up much. But you realize the littlest sin is the same as the biggest sin. Now, the consequences in this life, I'm going to tell you, there's some differences. I've visited people and loved people and have been around people and have been in to federal penitentiary because they did some big sins. Does that make sense? And they're out now. But the point that I'm saying is they made a choice and they had to pay for that, right? But I want to tell you something. And you said, that's not how you get access. Now listen, act right, be right, do right, because there's consequences in this life and the life to come. But here's what I'm saying, guys. You're saved by his grace and don't hesitate to walk right into that throne room. Walk into the throne room because listen to what it says. Whom we have access by faith into his grace by which we stand. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about repenting. I'm all about, you know, the Bible has specific directions on that. We don't have time for today, but what's that? Okay. Have faith in this grace by which we stand. And here's the next word. Oh my goodness. Rejoice. Is this not a miserable bunch of folks around here? I don't mean in this room. We're perfect as far as anybody knows. Okay. But is this not like the most miserable time you've ever seen? They're not doing that right. And these people are doing this right. They're miserable. They're miserable because it's everybody else's fault. Okay. But listen, I want to tell you something. Listen carefully. Look at this. It says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something. This has been several years ago. I've only been at this church for 21 years this November. Okay? But watch this. It's while I was here, so that'll narrow it down for you. I don't know when it was. I literally... there was just so much pulling at me. And, you know, between this, that, family, finances, church, job, and that might have been at the time I was going through that with my dad and his cancer. I mean, I don't know what all was going on, because I can't tell you. But it was at one of them times when you're just about ready to go, voila, right? And in the middle of all that, I received a nugget. I got something because I was crying out for something. And guess what it was? This ain't very complicated because I'm not very complicated. Okay, watch this. Y'all can do what y'all want to, but I'm gonna have fun. And that don't mean debauchery. That does not mean, I'm literally said to the people, not out loud, y'all can all, we can all just go crazy if y'all can all go crazy if you want to, but I ain't. And I am slightly stubborn, my wife says. But the point being is this, and anybody else who knows me, but here's the point, guys. I decided, you know what? I'm breathing. I'm gonna have a good time. And I started choosing, I'd go to work and I'd have a good time. And you guess what happened? It changed the atmosphere of the place I was around. And guess what else happened? I come to church and I'm gonna have a good time. And I'm having a good time today and I had a good time earlier. And I'm having a good time. You know why I'm having a good time? Because I've chose to have a good time. I can say, well, you know what's happening is I don't want my nose is running. Yeah, it is. Anyway, that's always very, anyway. But the point is this, guys. Look what it says. We have, and rejoice, and what am I rejoicing in? This hope, and the blessed hope is Him. Know this, the blessed hope is Jesus Christ, and He has paid the price for your peace. Does anybody in here want peace besides me? I want peace, and I'm going to have it. This world ain't going to keep it from me. You know, okay, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to be nice, okay, or try to. Because He is my hope of the glory of God, and the glory of God is Jesus. And next week, we're going to spend some quality time talking about things we really enjoy, tribulations, perseverance, character, hope, you know, but because we know when things get wrong, that's when things get right. You go, oh, what? No, I'm telling you. It takes, how many of y'all have had to have a wake-up call once or twice in your life? You know, it takes, when you, I don't know if y'all are swimmers or not, and I haven't been for a long time. I don't have time, but we used to jump off in a place called the Blue Hole down South Arkansas, and it was spring fed. It was really deep. And what we do is jump off and we get down as far as we can, but you get kind of halfway in the middle and it's like you got to swim to go up or you go down. But if you went off, not if you just went off the surface, but if you went off the deal and went all the way from to the bottom, then you had something to kick off of to come back up where you could breathe again. Breathing's important, by the way, mostly for some of us. But the point being is this, guys. Some of y'all, you say, you know what, Bruce, I just can't go no further down. I want to tell you, use it as a kickoff place and push yourself back up to him. Because pneuma, which is the Greek word, breath, our spirit, he is our pneuma. He is our breath. The Holy Spirit, I want to tell you something. You are divine. You are created in his image. And he loves you. And you may be at the bottom this morning, guys, and I want to tell you, I want you to get right down on the bottom and push up and say, you know what? Let me be the man you've called me to be. Let me be the woman you've called me to be. Lord, show me the path to take to get to where you want me to be. And guys, I'm so glad. I'm so sorry Paul had to go through what he had to go through in this story of his life. I'm so sorry he had to go to jail, try to make his ends meet by making tents while he's busy writing about a third of the New Testament. People saying, you're just not the speaker I thought you was going to be. I'm sorry he went through all that. But I'm not sorry the fruit of that has fed generations through the Holy Spirit. So bow your heads with me this morning, Lord. Thank you, God, for these words. Spirit-breathed word of God. And Lord, I pray this morning that first I would hear them. And I want you to pray this, each and every one of you, for yourself, that you would pray to him that we would receive this truth, that we can have peace. We're justified. Lord, that we can walk in this faith and we live in grace, Lord. And Father, thank you. And help us, oh God, to be the men and women you've called us to be, Lord. And Lord, this morning, as I was getting ready, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Lord, help our lights to shine and not put it under a bushel, Lord, not hide it under the cares of this world. Lord, instead, shine for Jesus. And Lord, instead of trying to cover up the cracks, Lord, in this vessel of clay, Lord, they would let you shine through and we'd be the men and women you've called us to be, Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody watching this morning that's at the bottom, Father, I pray that they would kick off and come to where you are, the pneuma, the air, the very air that we breathe, the closest way to say Yahweh, Yahweh. Fill us with your spirit, oh God. We give our lives to you. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His light shine on you and give you peace.